Has it been good to you? Say amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, God just tied everything together. Amen. He's a great God. But the kids sang, God is love. He will take care of you. And we've heard the testimony that God has blessed people to pray for us, and we've prayed, and God has been good to us. The choir just sang, God is so good, and He's been so good to me. Can you say that? Say amen this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Boy, it's good to see you. We have a good-looking crowd here this morning. Thank you. Appreciate you. And all of our friends in the internet, our e-church is growing every Sunday. We have friends on Facebook and on the regular, internet. And so we are thankful for all of you who are watching us by means of the E-team today. We appreciate them so very much. Glad that you're part of the service. I know you've been blessed by the singing. And Brother Gary and Miss Cindy are back, and you've been praying for them for safe traveling mercies. God answered that prayer. Blessed in the services for her mom there. And they had a chance to be with family, and so you continue to remember them in prayer. All the rest of it. Got to meet some of our guests this morning, visitors. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. And thank God for you being here this morning. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And we've been looking at that book Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for some length of time now. And different things in there, and we'll continue on until we get through with it. We will not finish. We will not exhaust the book. It'll be much more there after I get through. And I've just been so blessed. I hope maybe you've been reading it. And I've tried to make a habit of reading the book quite a few times through the week. And then as I begin to study, and God burns my heart about a passage of Scripture, I try to reread several chapters right there, or maybe that whole chapter or other chapters, and then the whole book. Again, let it just sink in my heart. And I'm going to tell you, thank God for that. God is light. We looked at that last Sunday. God is light. Now, I want to look at this little phrase this morning, chapter 4, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses, but I'll center in on just two verses and the same statement in two verses. But look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Notice the emphasis there at the end of verse 8. God is love. And in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, would you just please drop down to verse 16. And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. That little phrase, God is love. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would bless. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation, Miss Brenda playing this morning. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the children, both choirs, and the wonderful songs they sang. And Lord, for Miss Lynetta, we thank you for her and for all of our teachers. And I pray, God, that Lord, you'd bless them and all of the students through the year. Bless those, our Father, that are involved in other Christian schools or private schools. Those who are homeschooling, I pray, God, you'd bless them. And then, God, I pray that you just make, Lord, your provision and protection to be around every one of the facilities across this nation, our Father, and protect them from wicked people. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you bless here this morning. Thank you again for the wonderful singing. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now would give me your anointing. God, I pray you'd get glory. Now, Father, we stand before you, and I bow before you now, Lord, and acknowledge the fact there's no good thing in me. But God is love. And I pray, God, you'd help me now, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God is love. Now, a lot of people talk about the love of God, and they don't encompass all that the Bible says. I thought when I came to this passage of Scripture, it'd be a little easier than it's been. because I want you to know, I went to my Webster's Dictionary, 1828 edition of Webster's Dictionary, and there's a long section on love. Love is a noun. Love is a noun. It's a thing. And people love people. And it's also a verb. It's an action word. You love certain things. You love hot dogs, or you love flowers, or you love your pets, or you love anything like that. And then it can be a characteristic like the love of God. And those things are real. But the truth of the matter is, this statement doesn't say God has love. It said God is love. It didn't say that God loves, although we know He does, but it said God is love. And here encompassed is a huge statement. I've prayed and I looked and I studied and I did research on some other authors to explain that. And most of them just give a little simple statement, God is love. And then I realized that the reason they do that is because it is unimaginable for us. We can't conceive of God in His awesome love. You see, God in His essence is love. He is a just God. He's a powerful God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. But God is love. The true God is love. I was talking with a Muslim some time ago. I've made reference to that. And I was trying to get him to understand something of the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. He didn't want to hear that. And then I was talking to him about how God loves us. And he said that Allah is not a God of love. He's a God of justice. My dear friend, God in the Bible, the true God, God is love. Everything about Him is love. His essence is love. His nature is love. And everything that flows out of Him is love. Thus, in Romans, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Everything in my life, everything in your life works for good for the glory of God. We don't understand everything about it, but it's good. And God has a place for it. And so I want to just briefly this morning help us with three little things I want to say about God is love. Number one, I want to try to define what that statement says. God is love. Just briefly, I've tried to do it. God is love. I want to talk to you about God is love demonstrated, because that's the only way we can kind of really relate to it, God's demonstration of love to us. And then I want to talk to you about God's love delivered to us, and we'll get you out of here very quickly this morning. But to know the love of God, to experience God's love, you can see His awesomeness in the storm. Let's see if I can find this real quick. Turn over in Psalms 148, I believe it is, and let me see if I can find this real quick. Didn't have that in my notes, so I want to just look at it. And notice in Psalm 148, a very unique statement. In Psalm 148, look at verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfill His word. Wow. If God is love, where do you put hail in that? H-A-I-L. Where do you put that at? I mean, when hail comes and does such devastation, where do you put the love of God at in that? Well, Romans 8 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. How many of you know that I have been asking you to pray for our good friend, Brother Nathaniel Inslee, a church planter out in Wyoming, about the hail storm they had and the damage, the repair they need on the building? Did you raise your hand? Any of you remember that? Oh, I wish you'd remember it more than that. We can't take credit for anything to happen, I guess. But at any rate, the building that they got, brother, God blessed them with a camp, and it had been not used in a long time. And the only thing is, it was in a terrible state of repair. They had to replace all the windows, or they needed to replace all the windows. They had to replace the doors and so many things. And it's just a little handful of people. And but they were in a rental place at the school, and God opened that door, and they went in there, and to save money, Brother Nathaniel and his family moved into that building. They live in the church facility, but it all needed repaired. I went out and preached, but all of that's got to be repaired. And the vision of what God could do there, and the awesomeness, and believing God, and here you are with just a handful of people, and a little bit of offering coming in, just barely enough to pay the light bill and get by. Now you've got this piece of property. In fact, it was so staggering that one of his main men in the church said, "Preacher, this is impossible. We won't ever be able to do this." And he kind of threw his hands up, and Nathaniel was saying, "said Brother God, we're not talking about us. We're talking about God. What God's able to do." And so anyway, the guy, he left the church. He said, "Preacher, you're just not rational. You're talking about believing God and believing all." He said, "you put it on paper, it don't make any sense." And they left the church. And Nathaniel called me. He was devastated. And I said, "Well, would you just pray?" I said, "God's got a plan." And I said, I can't explain that to you. And I know things like that happen, but God, well, a few weeks ago, they needed a vehicle. And so God blessed, and we helped, and other churches helped, and they bought a 2008, something like a Suburban that would haul all seven of them. And then I got a text from him, and he said, "Brother Billy, you pray. We've had a devastating hailstorm at the property. It was awful." And I texted him back, and I said, "We will pray. What about the new vehicle?" That's the first thing I thought. He said, "We were up in Cheyenne. We were not at the property." And so he called me back yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk with him. And so I called him back early this morning. He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "Thank you for praying for us." He said, "The storm was terrible." He said, my truck, the red truck they drove down here, he said, "It looked like somebody, it just pelted with golf balls. It busted my windshield out, and the church van they had, everything, it just busted windows out of the church building where they live at. It destroyed the roof, everything else." And so then, not only did they need all that repair, but now all this hail damage. So the insurance company was contacted, and they came out, and they said, "Well, preacher, there's no way to repair this roof." Matter of fact, he said, "They've got 2x6 wooden trusses under there." And he said, "It should have been metal." He said, "So what we're going to do is we're going to pay for taking all of that off and rebuilding the roof and then re-sheeting the roof and have your brand new roof and a brand new truss system on it. And the windows, all these windows around this building, we're just going to have to replace all of them. And the doors, they're damaged, and so we got to replace all of that. On top of that, the church vehicles, everything paid for. Last figure he got that they were expecting to be sent in to do the repair work was something in excess of $300,000. Hallelujah. It said God's word is fulfilled by the hail. Thank God for hailstorms. Say amen. Amen. You say, "Brother Billy, how would a loving God let that happen? How would?" Because God has a purpose. He's a loving God. Now, I don't know how this is going to come across to you. I know you know I don't have any sense anyhow. And I thought, there's got to be some way I could intellectually or theologically explain what the love of God is. And you know what? I can't conceive of it myself. Because everything that God is, if God is love, then everything He does issues out of love. For instance, God is eternal. He doesn't have a beginning and end. And He does make this statement clear in the Bible. He said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." His love is unchanging. It doesn't go up and down. He loves us the same, whether we're good or bad. He loves us all the time. The devil would tell you that when you disobey God, God doesn't love you. He's a liar. God loves you. He wants you to live clean. He wants you to live right. He wants you to go to heaven. And He'll weep over you if you die and go to hell. He said, "You would not come to me, you might have life." But His love is everlasting. And He is absolutely holy. So His love is holy. That means He can love us with absolutely no motive of reprisal or reward as He loves us. Some people love people or kind to people because they're expecting something out of them. But as God, God loves us in such a way that He doesn't expect us, or He doesn't demand that we reciprocate that love. The Bible does say we love Him because He first loved us. But my dear friend, He's love. I read that in about the word love in Webster's, and he's great. He really is a godly man. He quotes scripture, and he talks about love, and he said it is a very strong emotion, motivated by beauty, or desire, or those type of thing. He said it may be the attraction of a man to a woman, or a woman to a man. It may be a love of sunsets, of beautiful things, and you just, the beauty of it calls you to love them. But now, that's man's concept of love. But God is love. And He said in the Bible that you and I should not prefer one, we shouldn't show partiality, in other words. Did you know that God loves you? As much as He loves anybody in the whole world. I can tell you something more than that. Christ said of God the Father, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Did you know that God, who is love, loves you as much as He loves His own sinless Son? Wow. You say, when did He start doing that? Before the world ever began. His love's eternal, so He loved you before you were ever formed in the womb. He knew you before you was ever formed in the womb. And you say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. I have no idea what you've done. But I'll tell you something. He knows everything you've done, and He loves you anyway. You may never respond to that love. You may never experience that love in a real way. But He loves you with an eternal, everlasting love that shows no partiality. And He loves the whole world. Everybody. I can't comprehend that. And so I said, Lord, what does it mean? I know You do love us and you demonstrate Your love, but what does it mean that You are love? And the first thing I thought about was Carly C's chocolate cake. Isn't that something? Isn't it dangerous for me to think that way? You think of what my wife has to live with all this time. She's often said to me, what are you thinking? You said, Brother, what? A cake. Carly C's, not just any cake, but Carly C's chocolate cake. God is love. If you go into the fellowship hall and there's this big chocolate cake in there, and we've got the best cooks in the world, honestly. I love it to death. They cook anything, everything. But if you go in there and you see a cake and they pull a clear plastic top off of it, it's sitting there, you're going to think, well, that's a store-bought cake. You'd better just wait just a minute. Carly C's 9-layer chocolate cake. God is love. If you see it in the hole, and I was standing there and you came by and you say, Brother Bill, what's that? I say, it's Carly C's 9-layer chocolate cake. And so somebody comes by. If Benny Ray was here, I could make this real, you understand it a little better. But let's just say come by, and Brian comes by, and Brian, he cuts him a real thin, just about thick his hand, puts it on a plate, and he's standing to hold it. Somebody come by and looks at it on the plate, and they say, what's that? I said, that's Carly C's chocolate cake. Just a small slice, but it's chocolate cake. And then Brother Linwood Johnson comes, and he gets a man-sized piece of cake. And he's standing there with both hands holding that paper plate. Somebody comes by and says, what's that? And I said, that's Carly C's chocolate cake. And then it gets all the way down where there's one little sliver left. And somebody comes by and said, what's that? And I said, that's Carly C's chocolate cake. And they scrape it off that little tray thing it's on. All that's left is a bunch of crumbs and some chocolate there. I'm standing there looking at it. All this time I should have been getting cake, and now it's all gone. And somebody comes by and said, "Brother Billy, what's that?" And I said, "That's Carly C's chocolate cake." You might not get to see but just a little bit of it, or taste but a little bit of it, but it tastes just as good as if you ate the whole thing. I can't explain it to you. Can I? But God is love. Does He love us? Is it an action verb? Oh, yeah, it is. Does He have love as an attribute? Yes. But far more than an attribute, God is love. You understand that? Why would God do this and why would God do that? Everything it issues out of God comes from love. Can't explain it, not here, but we can explain it over there. God is love. I'm going to show you love demonstrated. You could go through the Bible. You start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through and see the love of God demonstrated for His people. You see it in creation. When you look at the creation of the world, how God created the world, and He creates vegetation life, and He creates the waters and all of those things, and then the animal life, and then He fashions man. When man came into this world, God had already prepared everything for him. He already had the garden planted, had everything. He was already bearing fruit. He had plenty of water. Everything was just right. And God demonstrated His love to Adam and to the whole human race by having everything prepared before they ever arrived on the scene. That's why He said that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. We didn't see it until it came in time when Christ was clothed in the human body. I'm going to get that in a minute. But already in the concept and mind of God, it was already ready. He had all that ready before you ever sinned. Your sin did not surprise Him. Your fallen nature did not surprise Him. He had it prepared for you already. He already had. God knows what things you have need of before you ever ask Him. That's what the Bible said. And His love is demonstrated in His provision for us beforehand. He loved us so much, He's got it ready for us now. Whatever your need is today, He's already got it because He loves you. He cares about you, and He's already got prepared. He knows what things you have need of before you ever ask Him, the Bible said, because He loves you. And it issues out of His love, His creation, and His care for us demonstrates His love. But go back to our text in 1 John, if you will, please, and look with me at verse number 9 of chapter 4. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I know He's love because He gave His only begotten Son. It was God's love gift. Brother Donnie had a birthday the other day, and I thank the Lord for him, for what God's done in his life, for his girls and for his grandbaby and for his precious wife who's in heaven. When Deborah passed away so suddenly, and it was a truck, we came in, and when Brother Donnie came in, Regina and I were standing here, and when he came to see her here, he saw her, of course, at the funeral home, but and she was right here. And Regina and I came and stood with him there, and he stood and wept silently for a few minutes. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "There's a whole lot of love laying right there." And when Christ hung on that cross, God the Father said, "There's a whole lot of love hanging right there." Amen. And when they laid him in the grave, God the Father said, "There's a whole lot of love laying right there." And when he arose again, he said, "There's a whole lot of love alive and available for the whole world through his death and burial and resurrection." Whole lot of love. You can describe the love of God demonstrated in so many ways, but there's no greater way than this. John 15 said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's as good as it gets with a human being, that he'd be willing, he'd love so much he would die for his friends. But God loves us more than that. The Bible said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were not His friend, He was our friend. And God's love surpasses anything you could ever imagine in the human realm. He loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son that you might have life. You say, Brother Billy, He wouldn't save me. Why would He not save you if He let His Son die for you? Why would He not save you if He sent His Son to give His life for you? No way you could ever imagine that. No way you can ever imagine anybody in this building who has a son would let him die for you. But God did. He loved you and He died for you. For every man, woman, boy, and girl in the sound of my voice and everyone in all of creation, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrates His love and His care for us, His creation. And in the crucifixion of Calvary, He loves us in His chastening. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 said, He chastens those who He loves. Chasten means He corrects us. Sometimes God does things to us and through circumstance or through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God or through something happening in our life, God does chasten you. Sometimes people who are rebellious and will not go. I remember Brother Ava Rogers talking so many times about the shepherd and the sheep. And one of the most vivid things I have in my mind, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he said, that staff is a shepherd's crook. And he said, if you're traveling, you're going through, they're traveling, they climb it up in treacherous mountains. He said, he'll take that shepherd's staff and hook it up under the forearms of those little sheep. And he'll lift them to a higher plane one at a time and get them up. He lifts them out of the valley and puts them on the mountaintop with his shepherd's staff. But he said that club was actually a weapon, thy rod and thy staff, the rod. He said that rod was used to ward off enemies and defeat them. But he said it was also used for chastening. And he said on some occasions there'd be a sheep who just was determined to get away from the shepherd. He would call him back. He would have him to come back. He'd go get him and bring him back. And he'd continue to wander. And knowing if that sheep wandered, he'd pull others with him. And so he said on some rare occasions, that shepherd would break that sheep's leg with that rod. He'd cripple him. He said he'd bandage it up with care. But he said every morning when they got ready, and the Bible said he puts forth his sheep, he'd put all the other sheep out, and then he'd go and he'd pick up that sheep that he'd broken his leg, either lay him on his shoulder or either put him inside of his shepherd's coat, if it's a lamb, and hold him close to his heart all day. And they travel, and that sheep that had been disciplined so severely was held close to him to where he could feel the warmth of the shepherd and feel the heartbeat of the shepherd. And Brother Avery said that when that lamb had recovered, he got so accustomed to being right with the shepherd, he never left his side. Whenever the sheep would stop and they would graze, that little sheep would come and stand right by the shepherd. When they laid down to rest, he would come and he'd lay right beside the shepherd. He became inseparable because of his chastening. And Bible said, God said He chastens us because He loved us. In your Bible, we find this, God is love. I'll read you one verse in Romans chapter 5, in verse 5. Listen to what it says. He said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Love not only defined and not only demonstrated, but love delivered. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart and He sheds abroad in your heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You feel His love toward you. You have the capacity then to love others like Christ loved you. If you genuinely have been born again by the grace of God, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not human for me to do that, to love people like God wants us to. It's hard for us to do it in the flesh. But through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, we are able to love our enemies. We are able to love those who despitefully use us. We're able to love the body of Christ. We're able to love our families better. God puts His love inside of you, a love for this book and a love for His church. The Holy Spirit of God and the love of God is delivered to us and in us then. And thank God for that. He loves us in His delivery. But I want to talk to you just quickly, and I'm through, about the destination of that love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the heart of God was demonstrated when Jesus prayed in John 17, when He prayed this prayer, "Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory." The destination of the love of God is to be in His presence for all eternity, to see His glory, but to experience that love of God in reality for all eternity. That's what He's got for you. That's what He wants you to have. Why in the world would you not want Him? Why in the world would you not trust His Son? Why would you not step out this morning in the media where you are in your home, wherever you are, why would you not bow and say, "Oh God, I've been so foolish. I am a sinner. Save me right now. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for sending Your Son that I might have everlasting life." My dear friend, God is love. And He loves you so much, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He wants you to be saved today. Paul made one other statement I'll just reiterate this morning just as I close. Paul made this statement. He said, "The love of Christ constraineth us." It's the love of Christ that motivates us, that drives us. And why, as a Christian, do you do what you do? Why do I keep on preaching and keep on going and keep on doing those things? Because the love of Christ constrains me. Preaching in revival this week, it was a wonderful revival. People had been praying. They'd been meeting at 5 o'clock on Monday mornings and praying, and they'd been praying, the church family. And from the get-go, from the time walked up on the church, the service was alive. On Monday nights, a small country church, there's probably 40 of my family there. That's not all of them. At 35 to 40, the first night, there was a crowd of them. And all the rest of the folk, we had a good service. God moved. God blessed. But the thing was, I watched, and when we dismissed the service, nobody left. Very few left. They stood around. And most of the time, it'd be almost an hour before they'd ever leave the church house. God's love in there, all over the place. Then Monday, on Tuesday night, we had a great crowd, and God moved, and I preached. And we gave the invitation, and people came to the altar, and I saw hands raised that they need to be saved. After we closed the invitation, people just started all over again, just talking all around. And then I started walking back to the back, shaking hands. And then the preacher cried out, and he said, "Folk, God's still at work." And I turned around and looked, and there was a little girl about this tall standing down there. I guess it would be my great niece, David, who's been here. David, that's his home church. It's his granddaughter. And I forget how old they said she was. And then there's another boy a little bit shorter than her. And they were both weeping. And he said, "God, just save these." And we rejoiced and thanked God for it. And I stood at the back there. And then as soon as I could, I got back down. But I saw David. And I remember several years ago. It's a long time ago. Now I can't remember how long. But I was preaching in Lakeview Park Baptist Church in my hometown, Roanoke Rapids. David was lost. Lived up in the edge of Virginia. And he loved to hunt and fish and drink. But on that night, he came to revival. During the invitation, he ended up in the altar. And Brother Rudolph Evans was there with him, and I got with him. And he asked Christ to save him. For the whole story, he served Christ faithfully for quite a length of time. But then he got out of church. Some things happened in the church and kind of discouraged him. He got out. But some months ago, he got right with God. got back in on fire for the Lord, praying, listening to preaching on the internet and all of that. And I looked at that crowd that hardly, just a handful of them used to go to a Methodist church up there, and there they were, 35 to 40 of them. And several of them had already been saved. One of them got saved in our judgment house. And several of them got saved when I was back up there preaching, different areas. But all generation after generation now, God's love's met their need. They've got saved. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never regret the day that you get saved. And you'll never know the result of your decision to trust Christ. But how many generations after you will walk with God and live for God because you trusted Christ today? Will you bow your heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, there's nothing about you that my little finite mind can comprehend. No way, our Father, with my speech could I describe or define you. You are love. You demonstrate your love in so many different ways. But Father, the concept that you are love, regardless of what every bit of your love, nothing but love. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God somehow has tended the heart of your people that they would love you more and be more faithful. And God, they demonstrate your love more, knowing that generation after generation after generation can be affected by their relationship with you. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, Lord Jesus, would deal with God's people. Lord, please don't let us backslide. Don't let us get cold. Don't let us drift from you. Keep us close to your heart. I pray your love will fill us. And God, I pray, God, that we could demonstrate that love to others. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to let you just be seated for a moment. I want Brad to sing a verse or two of this old song, and you just worship God. If you need to get up and come to the altar, I invite you to come. But I want you to be able to just sit there for a moment and listen to the words of this song as he sings. Listen. Oh, God, heaven. Brad, if you will, please sing that last verse. Not now, but before we leave. Hallelujah. God bless him. Indescribable love of God.
Could we within the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and
Now, while Brenda plays, just before he sings another verse, would you please stand? If you're here this morning and you've never experienced that love and salvation, I want you to know He loves you. Tim is here. Brad's here. I'm here. Ladies that will pray with the ladies, godly men who will pray with the men. If you don't know Christ, if you'll just take a step of faith and come and say, I want to be saved. If you have questions, we want to help you. But if you'll respond in faith right now to Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you'll never, ever regret it. And for the dear saints of God, some of you, the Bible said in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Maybe your heart's got a little cold. And the love of Christ that was shed abroad by the Holy Ghost is not as warm as it used to be. Matter of fact, He said in the last days that the love of many will grow cold, and you're like Laodicea, neither hot nor cold, kind of lukewarm love. He wants us to repent and be on fire and love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. I'd invite Christians to come lead the way. We're going to sing one other verse, whatever verse Brad chooses. But I want you to listen to the song. But you come now. If you're not saved, we invite you to come now. Step out and trust Christ. I'll meet you right here at the front. Will you come with these here around the altar who are already praying? Christians, you come as well. We'll listen to one other verse, will you? Heavenly Father, I would pray that God, that You'd bathe us in Your love. I pray, God, that Your people, our Father, would sense such an awareness of Your love for them, that God, it would be a consuming thing in their heart and life, that they'd wake every morning to welcome each day, regardless of their physical condition or their financial condition, to know that whatever happens, that You love them. We pray for our many friends that we mentioned, Lord, who've had surgeries, some who've experienced death. We pray, Brother J.C.'s family, and the death of his sister this morning. We pray, our Father, Your blessing continue on Miss Marie's family. And Lord, we pray for Teresa's family. And thank You, God, for touching Perry and, Lord, using him so in the celebration of life there on Thursday night. We pray, God, that You'd help us that we might know and experience and demonstrate Your love to others. And God, we'll thank You and praise You and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many of you know that God loves you? Say amen. 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 He loves you. And I want you to know that He's real. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody one word. Well, I said two words. Chocolate cake. Will you do that? Amen. God bless you. I'll see you tonight, the Lord willing.